Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this morning. We thank you again for the opportunity to worship you, for everything that you have done at this amazing church, this wonderful bubble where you have protected us again and again and again. And not just protected us, but you have blessed us. You have showered blessing on us over and over again. And that is just simply because of your grace. Because we don't deserve it. We know that we're just people walking around in flesh with our own sin, our own temptations, our own coping mechanisms, our mistakes, and yet you have chosen to love us and love us deeply. So we want to honor you this morning, God, because you are the one that is worthy of all of the praise. And we just want, as me and my fellow pastors speak this morning, for it to be a fragrant offering to you. May every heart in this room worship because of what is said this morning. We love you so much. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So yes, this morning is a very special morning. We do this about once a year, our State of the Church address. And we have a number of updates for you. Some things to celebrate, and a few exciting changes that are coming our way. But before we jump into the updates this morning, I want to start, because as I was thinking about this, it rests on my heart. Ephesians 3, when Paul prays for the church, he prays this. He says, "I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, that you will have power together with all the saints to comprehend the length and the width and the depth and the height of the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge." To know what's unknowable, to know something you can't know because it surpasses knowledge, that's the love of Christ. And that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And then Paul breaks into utter praise. He says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ever ask or imagine, according to his power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." And when I think about that passage and what God is doing here at New Life, that passage feels incredibly fitting. We've simply been trying to love one another well here at New Life Community Church and to serve faithfully and to follow the mission that God has given us. And yet along the way, he keeps doing more than we imagined. He's growing our ministries, opening doors, he's raising up leaders, expanding opportunities for us to reach the next generation. And so this morning, it's not just about announcements or updates. It really is a moment to stop and say, look at what God has done. And give him the glory for the ways that he continues to work in this amazing church family because of the power that he is working inside of each one of us. Some of the topics that we are going to cover here this morning, all four of your pastors are going to be speaking, and first up will be Kurt. We're going to find out, how's Kurt doing? He's been on sabbatical for a bit here. Let's get an update from Kurt, and some good news there. And he's also going to be covering he's going to give us a good missions update. After Kurt speaks, then Ben Gross is going to talk about life groups, and he's going to be telling the congregation all about what's going on with the Paideia Christian Academy. And then Brian is going to talk about some things that are going to be coming down the pike with our Sunday service and how we can steward our service to the best of our ability. And then I'll get up here and close us again with two topics. I want to talk about reconciliation, and then what we might be able to do about our expanding ministries and our need for space around here. So that's what the morning's going to look like. Kurt, why don't you come on up and you can give us a start.
Fans out there. Morning. Yeah, my name is Pastor Kurt. I guess you could call me the senior pastor here at New Life Community Church. It means I'm the oldest one. I was a founding pastor of New Life Community Church over 30 years ago, and my living room is where this whole thing started. So it's just been a tremendous blessing to see how God has used New Life Community Church over those years and the things that he's going to do in the future. I wanted to do four things this morning, update you on four things. First, the international ministry that New Life Community Church has. Second, update on my own personal ministry. Third, I want to briefly pray for a few things here this morning. And then last, show a short video that Ray Damaso put together about our recent missions trip to Costa Rica. So first, an update on our overseas missions work. A few months ago, we raised a lot of money for our annual missions campaign. As I said then, most churches in America give an average of 4% of their money to foreign missionaries. At New Life Community Church, it's nearing 30%. That is an amazing thing. And that tells you something about New Life Community Church. We're giving sometimes 10 times what a lot of churches in America are giving to foreign missions. What does that mean? That means that at New Life Community Church, we're very serious about Christ's Great Commission. After Jesus raised from the dead, he met with a few hundred of his followers, and he said this, "Go and make disciples of all the nations." And in another teaching, he said, when that work was done, when all the nations had been reached, when the last person came to know Christ on this earth, he was going to come back. And so we're just extremely excited with our work, particularly in India and Nepal. We believe that we are being a strategic part of completing Christ's Great Commission on this earth, and perhaps our missionaries there are seeing some of the last people saved who will ever be saved before Christ returns. So we feel very privileged to be a part of that. As usual, most of my update is about Nepal because that's just where most of the action seems to be. The most important thing that our friend Chairman Hanock there wanted me to communicate regarding the front line of the missions there was this. They have several reports of what they're calling Sauls becoming Pauls. What he is referring to is some of the foremost persecutors of our Christian missionaries there are getting saved and becoming evangelists themselves, just like Saul turned into Paul in the book of Acts. So in one incident, two young missionaries that we support used the motorcycles we have purchased, and they arrived in a remote village to share the gospel there. And the village elder publicly, literally slapped them in the face as they were sharing the gospel. He physically attacked these two young missionaries. Well, a short time later, this very man was converted to Christ and has become one of the foremost evangelists in the area. So Hanock said he could tell three or four more stories just like that, and they're seeing this current trend in their ministry, and it's been very encouraging to the missionaries who continue to be persecuted there for doing what they're doing. You know, it's against the law to do what they're doing there, and they do it anyway. And second, Hanock asked us to pray about the recent election of a new president in the country of Nepal. The guy is a well-known rap artist in that area who got elected as president. That tells you something about how the young people in Nepal have risen up to affect that election. Unfortunately, the Christians don't have any idea how the new government is going to treat Christians, so he's asking us to pray about that. Well, what about my own ministry? First, I want to thank the congregation for the opportunity to take some sabbatical. And as I said, I wanted to focus on my own personal relationship with God during that time. Pastors can get so busy giving to others that we forget we can only give what we're getting from God, right? Because it's a spiritual work. And so I'm just very pleased to look back and just realize I was able to focus on my relationship with God and grow closer to Him, and I'm just grateful for that. Regarding my overseas ministry, I have related before that we are encountering some challenges with that. I have had discussions with the leaders in both Nepal and India, and they still talk about the effect of the past pastors' conferences that we've been able to do there and how those things that influence the pastors there and the churches. But as we talk more, we're in agreement that It's expensive to put on those conferences. And it's difficult to take money away from supporting the missionaries to do the pastors' conferences. So even despite the incredible generosity that we have here at New Life Community Church, resources are still limited sometimes. And therefore, we've tried to do more Zoom teachings over the internet. And but this has significant challenges as well. Internet access is limited and expensive, especially in the rural areas where we're especially focused on trying to reach the rural pastors and the rural churches there. And they can only afford a limited amount of data on their phones. And if they listen to me teach for an hour over Zoom, it can use up their entire month's worth of cell data. So there's challenges there as well. Therefore, it seems that the best way for me to help the pastors and churches in India and Nepal is to continue to expand the Christian Essentials discipleship materials and continue to have them published in their own language. Thankfully, printing materials in these countries is still extremely cheap. And in those cultures, books printed in their own languages is considered extremely precious. We don't care about printed books anymore in America. They really do in those poor places of India and Nepal. And I have been told in both India and Nepal that there is no other book like the Christian Essentials that's translated in their language. I still have a hard time believing that, but that's what they say. So Hanok will be spending a significant portion of the money we gave him to publish and distribute more of the Christian Essentials there. And reach, you know, the reach just in Nepal is just amazing. Hanok is the elected leader of over 10,000 churches in Nepal. And he wants to get the Christian Essentials to all of them. And granted, most of those churches are like 25 people gathered in a hut. But that is still 250,000 Christians who possess no other Christian books in their language other than the Bible. So, by the way, the English versions of the Christian Essentials, let me just note, are available out there in the foyer if you haven't taken advantage of those yet. These are what they look like out there. The first study, Forgiveness, is about the Christian faith, how to become a Christian, what do you need to believe to be a Christian. The second study is about your identity in Christ and different habits that Christians need to have in order to grow. The third study, Faith, is about God's love for you. And the fourth study, Fruit, is about spiritual growth. So those are the kind of discipleship materials that we've written here and that we're making available to these churches overseas. And most of the instruction in those Christian Essentials is more practical Christian teaching. I'm being asked to develop more teaching on more doctrinal topics over there because they just desperately need that. So I'm going to continue to add to the Christian Essentials, and I hope to share some of that new material with you in upcoming Sunday morning messages. In fact, I've been working on a series of messages I will begin this next Sunday entitled, Who Are You? I want to talk about how God created us. More specifically, I want to discuss what the Bible says about the various parts of us, including our soul, spirit, mind, and body, and how does that affect our Christian life, and how will that affect our entire eternity? So in addition, the pastors have asked me to be something called a pastor of special projects. So for example, I'll be managing the contractor side of the proposed gym project, depending on what that might look like. And again, Pastor Hunt will be saying more about that in a little bit. I also feel a need to reconnect with the people of New Life and revive some old friendships and gain some new friendships here in New Life. There's a lot of new people. I haven't really had an opportunity to meet a whole lot. I think the best way for me to do that is to visit the life groups. So, life group leaders, Brenda will be sending you out a request here in this next week asking for a scheduled time that I can come and visit your life group. And I'd like to lead a discussion on a particular topic in those life groups that I think will have a blessing for all of us. Before we pray here for just a minute, I wanted to just note our friend Priyanka, who's in India and on staff here at New Life Community Church as a counselor. She went to India for a little while, was supposed to be back about more than a month ago. But this war in the Middle East has kept her. She just told me this morning that they canceled her ticket through the Middle East for the third time. So we're just going to bite the bullet financially and bring her through Europe and pay the price to get her through Europe and bring her home as soon as we possibly can. Let's just take a moment to pray for those few things, and then I'll show you the video that we have about Costa Rica. Father God, we just want to thank you for the work that New Life is doing overseas. I thank you so much for the generosity of the people here at New Life. And thank you for how you're blessing that in very practical ways to see people come to know Christ in these remote places of the world. We pray for our missionaries, Lord. We are the sole supporters of almost 30 missionaries in Nepal alone, including in India and Costa Rica. And we just pray for our missionaries today, asking you, God, to please bless them, protect them, continue to provide for them, and use them. We have no idea what they go through. I've never been slapped in the face for sharing the gospel with somebody. So we just ask you to continue to bless them. We do pray for this election in Nepal. We don't know what it means for a rap artist to be elected as the president. But we do ask you that the gospel continue to be able to flourish there in the country of Nepal, regardless of the government. We do pray, Lord, for continued blessing of the Christian essentials there in India and Nepal. We're just humbled by, Lord, how you've used those, and we just ask you to continue to bless them, continue to help them be published, and we just ask for your blessing and protection on those. Finally, we pray for our sister Priyanka that you just help her to get back here. I know she wants to be. Give her safe travels home. In Christ's name. Amen.
Remember us from past years, but also when we're putting on their bracelets or giving them their backpack, they always just smile with so much joy. Their hugs are always just great. And one girl asked us how long we were going to stay, and we told her that we were going to stay until Friday, and she asked why and asked if we could stay all year. So that was sweet. We would want to stay here all year if we could.
Light his own candle some other way. See now you're...
One individual that we worked with has been struggling with drug addiction for quite a long time. And the reason why he knows about the new ministry is from a friend that Saeed was able to help. And I met with this friend that Saeed helped even just this last year. And this man just comes up to me and he just says, "I'm free." And he looked like he was very happy and looked very peaceful. When they're doing Renew Ministry together, I can't hear much of what they're saying. Saeed just pauses to ask me for help intermittently, but all of a sudden everything's in Spanish and I don't understand what's going on, but then he just starts breaking down crying. And I know something really good happened there.
I'm so grateful for the what God is doing with our church and the combination between Iowa and Costa Rica church.
Hearts are blazing, so let's raise our candles and light up.
We did a lot of painting.
We did a lot of painting.
Father, in the name of Jesus, make us savior.
We replaced some burned out light fixtures in several of the classrooms. The first day we arrived, the principal said there was no light in one of the classrooms at all. So we quickly installed a light bulb, and all the children cheered, "Hooray! Finally we can see!" So we replaced multiple light fixtures in many rooms. Just tonight we finished putting up two ceiling fans in the kitchen.
I love it so much, because this helps us a lot at work. It refreshes our day because this is a very hot place. Thank you very much.
I just want to thank you all because I know it's a sacrifice to come here to Costa Rica, but you guys do it in a way that we feel the love. We really feel that you guys really love us and we love you back. So thank you, New Life Community Church, for coming here, for your friendship, and we hope to see you again.
All right, good morning again. Two topics. We'll start with life groups. So as we look forward to the next season in the life of our church, I want to talk about life groups because a lot of real ministry happens in life groups. If you've been part of one for any length of time, you know that. This is a place where people are known. It's a place where people can obey the one another commandments of the Bible. It's a place where people are prayed for. And ultimately, this is usually the first place that people let their needs be known. This is the front lines of ministry in our church, specifically for that reason. When you're on somebody's couch in somebody's living room, you're talking about how your week is going, and you're even talking about what you need or what's hard. This is a place where people can know you and then help you. And so we take life groups very seriously at New Life. You know, there's over 100 one another commands in Scripture, and this is the most practical place to obey these. So we've been clarifying life group distinctives this year, and many of you already know these things, but just in case you're on the fence, if you've yet to become part of a life group, we want you to understand what the purpose of these groups are. Because I think about 80% of our church participates in these groups. But we'll just tell you our heart. Our heart as a leadership team is that 100% of people would participate. There's only so deep that you can go at New Life without joining a group like this or without being known. So what are these groups all about? Life groups primarily are connection groups. They are a place to be known, as I said. And so they are not built around curriculum. They're built around relationships. That's the expectation, is that you're known and you're willing to know others. Furthermore, we want them to be small on purpose. Now, if we could wave a magic wand, I know a lot of groups aren't this size, but if we could choose, they'd be between 12 and 15 people, 3, 4, 5 families. Now, I know some of you have a group that's 30 plus. That was my group when I was active as a life group leader, and that can be a little bit overwhelming to prepare for, and eventually you lose a family feel. Eventually, you don't even fit in a living room. And so, obviously, if you have a group that's that type of size and you're thinking about splitting, some of you already have done that, but if you have needs beyond that, if you're considering, man, maybe this group is too big, we'd love to talk to you and assist you in that. Now, obviously, you don't have to be a group of 15. You can be a bigger group. But I think these groups function in the most optimal way when they are like 4 families and everybody fits in a living room easily. And it's not just a mountain of preparation to get ready for a weeknight meeting. Furthermore, these groups are flexible. They are about connection, they are small, and they are flexible. The purposes stay the same. The purposes of every group are the same. This is a place to pray for each other, to care for each other, to share life with one another, and ultimately to have fun. Life groups are a lot about having fun as well. But how that happens is up to leaders. So we just want you to know, we don't want the bar to be really high on Bible study. Of course, study your Bible if that's what your group wants to do. If you as a leader want to do that and your group wants to do that, we're not saying don't study the Bible. But we want to make it so that it's not really, really prohibitive to be a life group leader. What we want to do is lower the bar a little on Bible study and raise the bar a lot on relational shepherding. This is a place to have relationships and to aid in relationships, aiding them in growing. So we do want that to happen. We want more leaders, more groups, and more people connected because our church is growing. In the last year, we've added 40 people to our membership. That's not insignificant. That's a huge number. And so the first thing we're saying to those 40 people are, yes, join our church officially. Go through our membership class, become a member of our church. But after that, what are we saying to people? Join one of these groups. So if we keep growing, we have a good problem to have, which is we would like people to join a group. Therefore, we need more groups and more leaders. So we're going to talk about that in a minute, because there's 2 groups starting now and more still to come. So let me tell a story, I think, that highlights what Life Group is all about, because this is a conversation I had in my office with a Life Group leader, I think, 2 weeks ago. And so one of our leaders and I talked recently about how he had a full plan for Life Group, Bible study, prayer, the evenings planned out. But when the group gathered, he noticed there was one person in particular that may have been struggling. And so he asked, hey, do you need to share tonight? Are you okay? And that person shared, and you know, through tears, they were open about their struggle. And so what he did, he didn't push through with his plan. He stopped everything he was doing and just listened to that person's story. And the group prayed for her, they cared for her, and afterward, what he said, I think that was the real ministry tonight. And he was absolutely right. So that's what Life Group leadership is. It is not running a meeting or getting through a lesson. Ultimately, it is all about shepherding people and meeting their needs. It's seeing needs. Now, as a Life Group leader, maybe that feels daunting to you. You don't have to meet every need that you know about. You just have to be able to see them. And if needed, come report to one of us. Because if you're unsure about what next steps are for any individual person in your group, we want to talk to you about it. So what that person did with me, that's a common occurrence. So if you don't know that there's a pathway there, if you're a leader or you're curious, how do I help this person? I may not have the resources. I may not have the personal wisdom or experience to deal with this specific issue. Great, come talk to us. We want to help with that. So that is what it's all about. It's seeing needs. It's stopping the plan when somebody's hurting. And it's being responsible for your people. And so being a Life Group leader is a place of honor and service. And so I'm gonna invite Joseph, Matt, Sam, come up here, please. These guys are going to start new groups. But as they do that, here's what I would like. Anyone who is leading a Life Group now, if you're a couple, husband and wife, stand. And if you've ever led a Life Group, stand up. We want to applaud you. Thank you. Come up here, guys. Yeah. And we want to applaud these men because they'll be starting groups as well. And so, yes, thank you. And so all of you standing, and these men as well, this is the front lines of ministry. This is the first place you ever figure out what somebody's need is and even conceive of how to meet it. And so we want, as pastors, to do more ministry in, with, and through Life Group leaders. So Joseph is starting a group. Matt and Sam are starting a group. They're going to tell you about it briefly. Here you go.
Thank you. Yeah, I think we've met a few times now. But we've been meeting on Monday evenings at 6 p.m. The best part of our Life Group is that we can all kind of remember what the sermon was actually about when we talk about it, because it's only the next day. But yeah, we've been having a great time, and we can use a few more people. So if you're looking for a group, we'd love to have you. Was there anything else you wanted me to share?
That's great.
Awesome.
Yeah, we're starting this Thursday at 6 o'clock. That's why I have Sam here. We meet at 6 o'clock on Thursdays here. We're going to just kind of mainly focus on just building community, sharing openly, having meals with each other, building relationships. That's kind of the focus of our Life Group. So if you're looking for a Life Group, we'd love to have you.
Thank you.
That's what he said, yeah.
What he said. Excellent. Thank you, men. Appreciate you. Yes. So again, thank you to every Life Group leader. If you're serving, if you're caring, if you're shepherding faithfully, we appreciate that. We see that. We want to partner with that. Our goal is to identify leaders like these men and then equip them. So if you need any kind of equipping, obviously we want to take an informal interest in that. Come find us. And we're also going to come find you, like Kurt said. He's going to be visiting Life Groups. We want to maybe, we'll think about formalizing a policy. How can we do more of things like that? So again, our goal is simple. More groups, more leaders, more people connected, more ministry taking place in somebody's living room in this church. So if you need permission, if you need an invitation, go and check out these new groups, but go and check out any group. If you've never joined a group or you'd like to maybe try another group, that if you're already a part of your group, you want to try a new one, you can do any of those things. This is a season to test these things out. So please go and do that. All right, that's all I'll say about Life Groups. I want to talk about Paideia Christian Academy. If you don't know this, New Life is starting a school. We are starting a classical Christian academy starting in the fall semester, probably August of 26. Now, if you don't know, the school board is myself, Pastor Ben Hunt. Raise your hand if you would, if you don't know him. John Gross is in the back. He's our board president. Carlin Stutzman is our head of school. We are your school board. Now, we had an event last night. Who came to our vision night? Yeah, I think there were 59 people. I don't know if I counted a couple people twice, but there were between, I think, 55 and 60 people there last night. It was an amazing event. We all got a chance to speak, and we're celebrating the fact that we're at a point where we can't do all the work ourselves anymore. We need more help. But good things happened last night. I think we raised, if I'm correct, at least $8,000. So thank you. Any of you that donated to us, a round of applause if you would. Thank you so much. And what that does, that puts us, I think, over 60% on the way to 70% of our financial goal, a fundraising goal of raising $100,000. So we're just absolutely over the moon. We are celebrating as a school board and as a school because a lot of good things have happened recently. We're blown away. So the first, I think, maybe dozen school board meetings we had, we basically went through just a mountain of paperwork. We probably wrote over 200 separate essays, specific pieces of content for the state of Iowa to accredit us. And now we're at a point where we have been accredited. We have provisional accreditation from the state of Iowa, and we're well on the way. We don't have a school yet, and we're still celebrating because, oh my goodness, we've done so much work to get to this point. So we're blown away by that. This school probably started in the mind of Carlin Stutzman about a decade ago. He's been wanting to do this for a long time, and the rest of us caught the vision in the last couple years, but now we're at a point where, oh my goodness, this thing is really coming to life, and it's really taking on a life of its own, and we can't go any farther without you. So we're grateful for the community here in this church that wants to support that. So if you don't know, I'm going to give you a one-minute pitch, one-minute elevator speech for what this school is. Now, this school is a tool, right? A lot of, there are families in our congregation that want to homeschool. There are families that want to pursue this model. But regardless, we have a lot in common. The vision of the school and the vision of the church are united in several very important ways. First and foremost, I know every parent in here, everyone that's responsible for education of any kind in this room, I'm sure would affirm this. And it's that all education is Christ-centered. There's not a subject you can study, music, math, language, whatever, that doesn't find Christ at its center, doesn't find Christ under it, and over it. Jesus Christ is the through line for everything. He has authority over every subject you might teach. And so for that reason, we're not just preparing students for academic success or for success in the job market or anything else. We are forming people. This is about spiritual formation. So the name of our academy is Paideia, because in Ephesians 6:4 it says, fathers and mothers, train your children in the paideia of the Lord. Discipline them to prepare them to become mature Christians. And that's what we want. I know everyone in this room wants that. We want children who are able to know themselves, know the world they live in. They're able to rule themselves. They're able to govern their own choices and desires and ultimately point themselves towards God, orient their entire lives towards God. And furthermore, we want to be a collaborative school. What does that mean? It's that we recognize, whether you use this school or not, whether you use this school or not, we recognize that the primary command in Scripture for children is given to parents. It's given to fathers and mothers, not a school, not a church, and definitely not the government. And so we want to partner with families. We want to strengthen families, not take over, not displace them. So we're celebrating because we're investing in the future to the best of our ability, and the future is bright. Youth ministries at New Life Community Church are off the hook right now. We have about 70 kids that come to our Awana program. We have dozens of kids that come to our youth group. And we have a co-op that will become a school that is loved by kids, loved by the adults that are staffing it. And we want so badly to do as much with that as we can to maximize that. So we're looking forward to August with a lot of excitement. But there are two prayer requests. This is the last thing I'll say about this. We have two specific prayer requests, and I'll tell you both. The first one is for Carlin. Now, Carlin is ready to leave his job as an engineer. He's ready to leave stable income, and he is doing something I think that might be one of the hardest things anybody can ever do, which is take a leap of faith into ministry. I know that well. All the pastors here know that well. It's a scary thing to step out into the unknown and to trust God with money, with the future, with, there's a lot of identity wrapped up in that. Becoming somebody, something new and taking on a new title and a new role, that's kind of an identity crisis. And so if you think about it, you should be praying for Carlin. Carlin and his family will need a lot of support in the next year. It might be the hardest year of his life. Secondly, we have provisional accreditation except for one thing, which is the sprinkler system. New Life might get a sprinkler system so we can actually have the school on these premises, but we need to go somewhere else for a semester. That might be King of Kings Lutheran, and that's specifically something you can pray for. We're asking them. We should hear back from them in a couple weeks. Their governing board is considering our formal request to use their facilities, but we haven't heard yes yet. And if they say no, we need a backup plan. But as of this exact moment, we don't have a facility for our school for at least the first semester. So you can pray for Carlin, and you can pray for our facilities request. So I'm going to pray, and we just ask you, Lord, we just thank you for Carlin and all the work he's done. This man has a full-time job and a part-time job right now. I don't know how he gets it done. And the same is true of John Gross. These guys work so hard. An operational role in this school at this time is incredible, the amount of work it takes. And so I just pray for this brother that he would have no fear as he steps out into the unknown, and that he would find that you're there to catch him, and that there's nothing but safety waiting for him, nothing but peace and joy waiting for him, and that the desires of his heart are about to be fulfilled. He's been down a long road to get to the point he's at, and I just pray that he is full of faith. So if we can encourage this brother, if we can love him as he steps into this new role, we certainly want to. We just pray you'd bless him, bless the work of his hands, bless his amazing, amazing heart to go in and love children and to dedicate his life to this. So we just ask you to bless him, and we ask you, God, help us find the facility that we need. So we just pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
All right, thank you, Ben. Okay, well, we're at time. So, Pastor Hunt, do you want me to wrap things up right now, or do you want to keep going?
Let's keep going.
Okay, we'll keep going. We'll keep going. Well, our next topic is the Sunday morning service. And as has been alluded to a couple of times already, many of you in this room are new to New Life within the last year or two. And so we want to thank you for joining us, but we also want to be honest that you've created a problem for us. And that problem is that when we all arrive at about 10 o'clock in the morning on Sundays, it is really hard to find a chair in the sanctuary here, particularly if you think about our service, where we're normally singing at that point in time, so people are standing up as you come in the back door. It just looks like this sanctuary is completely full, even if there are a few seats that are scattered about. And so we want to do some things here in the near future, starting in April, that we hope will maximize our seating and also minimize some traffic congestion. But at the same time, we thought, well, this is a good opportunity to also think about just the way that our worship looks and the way that our service is structured, and all the things that we do on Sunday morning to worship in various forms when we're in this place. And so we're going to try a few things starting in April. Let me just want you to picture this on your mind, okay? If this word is on a piece of paper, we're going to try. Try is in bold, italics, a different color, highlighted. We're going to try some things starting in April, and we're going to see how it goes, okay? Again, our two overriding factors here, what are we trying to accomplish? We're trying to maximize our seating while we minimize congestion in this room. And then the second thing that we're trying to accomplish is just to create a worship service that allows us to truly worship in all of those various forms that we employ on Sunday morning. So here's what you can expect. When you arrive in mid-April, we're either going to roll this out on April 12th or April 19th, you'll be greeted as you are today, but part of that greeting as you walk in the building is that you're going to be given a prepackaged communion serving to use later in the service. If you were with us during COVID, you remember we had these prepackaged communion elements. We're going to use those. Now, if you want to bring your own from home because you hate the taste of those little wafers, go ahead, okay? We're not going to be dogmatic about that, but you will be handed a prepackaged communion wafer and a cup to drink later in the service. Just a reminder that as you do come into the building, the emblems of the body and blood of Christ and our participation in the Lord's Supper is only meant for believers that have acknowledged Christ as their Savior, as Josh reminded us this morning.
And so if that doesn't describe you, you are not yet a believer in Christ, we would just respectfully ask that you not take those communion elements and not use them later in the service, and that is perfectly okay. So once we're in the sanctuary then, beginning about 10 o'clock, our worship teams will lead us through a set of three worship songs. And this seems like a really good opportunity to just say thank you again to Matt Reinert, to Sam Hagerman for their leadership of our worship bands, and to all of those who participate. For every 20 minutes that you see on stage on Sunday morning, there are hours of planning that have gone into that outside of Sunday. So Matt and Sam especially, thank you very much for what you do. So after those three songs, we'll take a literal minute to encourage you to greet those that are near you. So a little bit longer at that point in time than we currently pause after our singing. We really do want to encourage you to take that minute to say hi to a new face and to introduce yourself. So after those three songs, a one-minute greeting time, then we'll have our devotional time. And that will continue to consist of our offering, communion, and prayer. Once the speaker finishes his devotional thought, then you'll be encouraged and welcome to use those communion elements that you picked up when you came into the sanctuary. So if you haven't figured this out yet, what that means is that these tables in the sanctuary are disappearing, and so we'll just be taking communion at our seats. We will then collect those used cups during the teaching time. We'll just pass some baskets around to do that. Okay, so following the devotion time, this is the largest change. So again, we are trying, bold, italics, underlined, all those good things. So following the devotion time, the worship team will come back on stage, and they'll lead us through two more additional worship songs. During the first of those two songs, we're going to dismiss our children to head off to Sunday school. And we know that at least the first couple of weeks that we try this, that will cause a little bit of disruption. We'll have to train our kids a little bit about being quiet or quieter as they leave the sanctuary during that period of time. But they'll be dismissed by either Sam or Matt, whoever's leading worship that Sunday, to head off to Sunday school. And as they're doing that, we will continue with those two songs and trust that that will be an opportunity to just reconnect in worship before the Sunday teaching begins. So following those two songs, we will have our teaching time. And then following the teaching time and the discussion that we normally have after that, we will then end the service with announcements. And we're going to try to cut down our announcement time just a little bit, really focus on one or two things that are most important that week, and give some examples of how you can participate in that. So that is that's what's going on. Let me highlight again exactly what's changing, okay? So we are removing the pastor greeting that is normally near the beginning of the service. We're removing the closing song at the end of the service, but you'll notice that we didn't remove any music. We just rearranged when those worship songs are going to be utilized. We're going to have communion at our seats to simplify traffic flow here in the sanctuary. And again, the biggest change is that we're removing the break that is currently in the middle of our service. Okay, so let me address that for just a minute. Why are we removing the break? Some of you might say that's what you enjoy most on Sunday mornings, and I certainly could understand that. The couple of reasons for removing that break. Number one is that we want to, again, try to remove a little bit of the congestion in the sanctuary and help our seating. Another reason for that is that for everybody who says the breaks, the fellowship time is my favorite part, we do have a few that say, well, between announcements and the break, that's about 10 minutes, and I feel like I sort of get out of the flow of the worship time. The Sunday morning feels a little chopped up. And so this will provide some continuity to our service by removing that break. Now, what we're not hoping that happens is that you'll just quit fellowshipping with each other, right? We do anticipate that
our service might end a couple minutes earlier than it does today, not literally today. And then after their service is over, you'll be able to visit with each other and really enjoy some true fellowship that is not on a timer. In addition to removing the break, we will be closing the coffee bar at 10 o'clock. So, how do you ensure that you get coffee? You arrive before 10 and you fill up. You bring your own mug from home that's this big. The reason we're closing coffee bar is because we won't be having a break. We won't have anybody needing to go out to the foyer. We'll only have a few adults that will be going back to the fellowship hall area to drop their children off for Sunday school or nursery care. Okay? All right. So that's what you can expect in April. I have two specific requests of you, if I can make them. The first is that, like, we all understand that change is hard. Our service structure as it is today has been in place completely unchanged since at least COVID, and probably going back before that. So we're talking about 5, 6, 7 years. So, of course, whether you like it or hate it, the first couple of times that we do this are going to feel all weird inside, and you're going to wonder, is this even my church? Like, did I show up at the right place? So I'm just asking that, particularly if you don't love all these changes, would you just wait a couple of weeks and then provide your feedback? A couple of weeks for us to have it at least feel like it's not so dramatic, and then let us know how you feel about it, okay? Now, if you love all these changes, I want to hear from you immediately. So you can provide positive feedback right away. So we are asking for your patience, for your understanding. Again, let me just say this one more time, and then we'll turn things over to Pastor Hunt. Our goal here is to have this room for the hour and 20 minutes that we're here to be as comfortable and as welcoming and as available to everybody who shows up, even those who are here a few minutes after 10 o'clock. And secondly, to experience God in every part of our worship in the most meaningful way that we can. That's what we're always trying to accomplish. We'll see how that goes. We'll try it, and we'll adjust from there. If you have any questions, certainly welcome to let us know. Thank you.
Positive feedback already, Brian. See that? All right. Well, let's continue to worship, shall we? Let's do that. I just want to cover a couple of topics here. One is reconciliation, and then the other one is what are we going to do about space? So you guys all know that I am incredibly passionate about reconciliation. I have probably been the loudest voice about this historically, but the truth of it is that all of your pastors are passionate about this. We care very deeply about reconciliation, and all of your pastors want reconciliation to be one of the defining core values of this church. Why? Because Jesus says in Matthew 5, he says something very serious. So if you're offering your gift at the altar and there, remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there at the altar. First go and be reconciled with your brother, and then after that, come and offer your gift. If you think about what Jesus is saying there, he is essentially saying, I don't want your worship until you have done everything in your power to pursue reconciliation. It is unbelievably important. But reconciliation is one of those things that is incredibly difficult. That verse that Jesus gives there, it is difficult and scary to obey that verse. And it's consequential if we don't, because we all know how powerful relational strain can be. It keeps you up at night. It creates suspicion. It distorts the way you see somebody. It builds misunderstanding and offense and bitterness. And when that kind of strain is left unresolved, it doesn't just affect two people, it can affect an entire church. I have personally seen this. But as many of you know, I deeply believe that reconciliation is one of the most beautiful things that we get to witness as Christians. Some of my absolute favorite moments in my life have been watching people reconcile, whether it's in a marriage or in friendship, inside of a family. Those moments are absolutely incredible. I've watched this on 100 occasions or more, where two people walk into my office, and as they walk into my office, they are absolutely terrified because they are about to talk about the very thing that they least want to talk about. And in that terror, they kind of assume there's no way this is going to go good. It just can't. Can't imagine this going well. But with either a lot of help from me, sometimes very little help from me, something beautiful happens. And that is, they give each other a voice, and they listen to each other, and they find the hurt that resides in the other person. And misunderstandings come to the surface. They're discovered. And then you get to watch as they repent of the lenses that they had about their beloved friend. And forgiveness is given, and they walk out of the room closer than they ever were before. Honestly, those moments are one of the greatest evidences of God's work in the world. When you witness that, this is how I feel. When I witness that, honestly, it is like I am seeing the Holy Spirit in physical form right there in these two humble saints. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or even imagine, according to his power that resides within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Over the last few years, as we've talked about this more and more as a pastoral team, God has continued to show us just how important this is. Not only for the church, but for us as pastors, even. Because we are very different people, very different personalities, instincts, perspectives, and because of that, even inside the pastoral team, it can be easier to misunderstand each other than it is to understand each other, because that's how different we are. But do you want to know how to make somebody really good at reconciliation? You give them a lot of practice. And so our pastors, your pastors, have a lot of practice, and man, oh man, have we really honed our skills in this area. And so it's just fantastic, because every time you do, you go through that reconciliation process, you end up growing every time. You learn something more about the other person, but way more important is you learn more about you. Oh, I didn't recognize that in me. If you want to know, few things in life will level you up in your spiritual walk than reconciliation. So recently the pastors have been putting our heads together and saying, man, we've got to teach this. We have got to teach this. Out of those conversations, we've begun developing what we're currently calling the reconciliation tool. You can help us with the name if you want. We'll probably change that eventually. But Matt and Ben and I are going to teach this to the entire congregation if you'll let us. So, and then from that, what we're going to do is launch a reconciliation ministry where trained facilitators can help people walk through conflict. So to start that whole process, we're going to have a church-wide seminar. And we are begging every single one of you to please come to this. It's going to be on a Saturday, September 12th. We're giving you all kinds of lead time, okay? So get out your phones, put in September 12th, reserve that on your calendar. This is really, really important to us as a church, okay? Learning how to reconcile, doing this could save you thousands of hours of pain. And more than that, here's what we what I guarantee you will happen in this church is that New Life will become an even greater witness of the gospel. As Jesus said when he prayed for us, "Let them be one, Father, as you and I are one, so that the world may know that you sent me." Our greatest witness to the world is our unity and our love for one another. So, mark September 12th on your calendars now, okay? Lastly, I want to talk about something that many of you have probably noticed, our space issues. Whip, we've got them. We've got space issues. Youth group is growing and getting louder. Awana is bursting at the seams. Paideia Christian Academy already has space needs, and the school year hasn't even started yet. In other words, the ministries of this church are growing, and that is a wonderful problem to have, but it does mean we need to start thinking carefully about how we steward the space that God has given us. You may remember at last year's summer retreat, we brought forward two possible ideas for the future, two big, hairy dreams that we presented to you guys. One was the hybrid school model that is now Paideia, and the other was the possibility of building a gym on our property. And at the time, we told you, here's the two ideas. We might pursue one of them, we might not pursue either of them, or we might end up pursuing both of them, and now with Paideia being accredited and funded and classes beginning in August, God's clearly opened that door. But at that time, last year, we decided the gym project just wasn't quite in the cards yet, and so we chose not to move forward with a campaign there. But, ladies and gentlemen, some things have changed, okay? So let me ask you a question. Who here wants a gym? Huh? I got a few? You get a gym, and you get a gym. God has continued to bless this church financially in ways that we have been surprised at. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than you could ever ask or imagine. Because of that, we believe that the gym project deserves another serious look. Over the last several months, we've been quietly doing more research behind the scenes. We've hired a contractor who specializes in projects like this, and he's currently working on some preliminary designs for us. He's going to bring us a few different tiers of options. You can think of them as like gold, silver, bronze, so that we can see what different levels of the project might look like. So what we know right now is this. Based on where we stand financially, we believe it makes sense to move forward with a campaign in the coming months to see what level of gym we might be able to attain. But also, let me be clear, this does not guarantee that we will build one, okay? We will still want to pray, we want to evaluate this and seek wisdom as we move forward, but it does mean that the conversation is back on the table, and it means that you now have full permission with this conversation. You can be a little excited about it, okay? We'll let you. But even more importantly, I want you guys to start praying about this. If this is something that the Lord wants to provide for the church, then he will make that path clear. Because at the end of the day, a gym isn't just about a building. It's about creating space for ministry. It's about the next generation of our kids. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ever ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be the glory forever and ever, for every generation. Amen. So, I'm just going to go ahead and pray now. We'll skip the fellowship time. If you want to go ahead and head up now, I'll just pray, and then we'll close in a worship song. Father, it is so awesome to reflect back on everything that has happened with this church, especially in the last year. And the growth that has taken place and the finances that have been provided and the ideas that have been brought into fruition and the leaders that have been raised up and a couple of more life groups starting. It's wonderful to see everything that we are doing overseas. And Lord, I just ask that Paul's prayer for these saints in this room would truly be answered, and that is that all of us would indeed understand the length and the width and the height and the depth of your love, the love of Christ, so that we can know that, the love that surpasses knowledge, so that we can be filled to the fullness of the measure of God. We love you, in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
All right, we'll sing one more song here together. I lift up my head, sing out a song. I'll fix my eyes on Jesus, to the things of this earth all pass away. I'll fix my eyes on Jesus. Oh, my soul, if you are weak,